Well, it's a dynamic duo, we'll be back again. Other backers, DJ, you better pack it in. You're lacking sense, trying to tangle with us. Go with the big black bullies in the back of the bus to smack you up and steal your lunch money. You're such a buddy, if you look just a touch. Only by the end of the day, that's understandable. What can I say? You got strong man to be.
Gary has absolutely no idea what has happened to it. Still doesn't know.
We have to delete all of that from our podcast.
Yeah, so we'll get our second legal threat, which is always fun for a podcast when they get their second one. It's like growing up.
Yeah. I can't remember our first one.
Brad, wasn't it Brad McNamara?
He was threatening everyone. Let's be fair. He was basically just, he was like that drunk guy at the end, like the end of the night. Oprah. He's going, I'll fucking fire you, and I'll fire you, and I'll fire everyone. I'll fucking sue you, and my dad will come down here and beat you up. That was basically Brad McNamara. After that, it was after that Jeff Lemmon piece dropped, basically saying Channel 9 fucking commentary team is a clown show and it's all Brad McNamara's fault. And everyone in Australia went, yep, that's absolutely true. And Brad McNamara went, I'll fucking see ya. So I don't take that as a serious legal threat.
Well, he might be running Channel... Is he running Fox's bloody cricket coverage at the moment? Because, oh my God, it's getting almost...
Steve Crawley's running their football coverage and he was the one who basically sacked Simon Hill. And then loudly proclaimed that the best football commentator in the country was fucking Brenton Speed, who is at best shit.
Oh, dear. Some real smackdowns today in the NBA. Some real how's your fathers.
Basketball continues.
It does. It does. Which one were you the least surprised? The most and least surprised by?
Which was I most least surprised by?
You know what I mean.
Well, the cumulative smackdown seems to be to the 1980s because the Lakers and Celtics both fucking suck at the moment. So it's bad time for boomers and people who like legacies. Basically, we're definitely in the 90s, not the 80s, in terms of Lakers and Celtics form, because Lakers have lost four on the bounce and the Celtics have Brad Stevens' coaching record being clowned on Twitter, which is always funny times.
Yeah, it's really good for the wins pool competition because the Celts have really brought you back to the field a little bit.
I suspect the Lakers and the Clippers have faded a little bit. 3 points are in it, and you've got two games in hand, and Adam is still 20 behind. Poor old
last. Yeah, the Clips game today was interesting because Paul George and Kawhi were like really fucking dirty at everything, and the Grizzlies just went through them like fucking hot butter. I don't know. It's definitely not as clear cut as it was sort of leading into the season, where everyone's like, well, it's the Lakers, and then you know if the Clippers can get their shit together, they might compete and. And the Bucks have to prove everything in the finals. Now there seems to be at least the whiff of other teams being able to win the title. Not least the Nets might be the first team that just can't defend at all to be able to win shit. Because they've seemed to work stuff out quite a bit.
And so the Clippers were kind of sneaking up behind people. They were keeping it fairly low key if it wasn't for Steve Ballmer doing his fucking Kermit the Frog impression, trying to put people off free throws.
Yeah, what is that? Like, can you just let the players play, please?
He's not a normal human being. He's just a weird nerd.
Yeah, well, but coaches do it too. And like, if you're not on the court, you know, stay out of the fucking game. Really?
What if you've paid to turn up? You've paid to turn up. This is an entertainment product that's been put on for your benefit. The whole thing is a pantomime. Boo the fucking bad guys! Behind you, behind you.
Boo for sure, but. Like waving in sight lines and coaches wandering onto courts and...
In that case, but if you take that logic, you know, you shouldn't be allowed to put people in the crowds because people are distracting because clearly numbers were so far up when there weren't people in the crowds.
Yeah, that's true.
Basically, you should be able to shoot if there's people, you know, brown eyeing you from behind the court. They do just about that in college. So. It's not golf, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, if any player bitches about it, they should go and where is it? Is it Greece or Spain? Where like if, when the fans get pissed off, they save up all their 5 cent pieces and start pelting them at the court.
Start ripping flares in the third quarter.
That would make it a touch harder to shoot your free throws, I would imagine.
Yeah, when the cops are starting to throw tear gas to try and quell the active support. Yeah, I reckon that probably would cause you a few dramas.
You come out on the court looking like Bane just to get through the rest of the game.
Mm. Full hazmat. But you got hazmat, but you got it with the buttons down the side so you can, you know, like warm-ups on the sideline so you can rip it to get on the court.
No, I was talking that there was just, there seems to be a few more contendery looking teams now. Like, you know, the Nets are on an 8-game winning streak. The 76ers have had a couple of really good wins. You know, the Bucks have been fairly solid and did Holiday play today or is he still not back?
I don't think so. Did they get the win today? I think they might have just squeaked it.
Yeah, no, they did get the win. The Pels have been playing really well. This is the weird thing, right, is everyone's been ripping Van Gundy's coaching, going, oh, he's too old school. He doesn't know how, you know, he's not going to change. And then he literally changed. It was almost like he was waiting for Zion to hit a level of conditioning that he would be able to handle running the ball, you know, being the focal point of the attack the whole time. And he's actually made a fairly significant change to the way they, you know, play their offense.
Zion's fucking unstoppable. I don't know what you do with him. He's just, when he comes to the lane, it's just, you know, it's like trying to catch a Kenworth truck. It's not happening. It's just not fucking happening.
And his first step is just like, it's unfathomable. Like to see someone that big to be able to move from stationary to full speed that quickly. I guess football fans are used to it because, you know, those big guys can just go, you know, from nothing to full pace really quick. But on a basketball court, I'm just not used to seeing a guy that big and that chunky.
I like him big.
Just hit the afterburners.
Upsetting.
What else? The Jazz just cruising along. Couple of games clear in top spot now.
21 of the last 23, I think they're at now. The numbers are just getting more and more ridiculous. It's like their own little 73-game season all by themselves. I don't know what it actually means.
I was thinking about why it's sort of how they've got, and this is something that the Celtics don't have, and I don't think the Bucks, a lot of teams don't have.
The ability to win a game of basketball when it matters.
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking more like they've got three guys off the bench that they can trust. You know, they've got Clarkson, Ingles, and Favors. And, you know, it's not hit or miss. Like, those guys are a reasonably steady level of production, and you sort of know exactly what you're going to get out of them. Whereas the Celtics feel like, is Kemba going to score some points tonight? Is anyone other than the two Jasons going to, the two Jays going to score a point? And if they don't, then nothing comes off, you know, then it's a loss.
The Celtics slide has been fairly inexplicable. And I know a lot of podcasts have been sailed off into the internet this week to try and explain why the Celtics are on a slide. But this shit should work. They've got all their bits back. There's no logical reason why they're playing quite as badly as they are.
And if it doesn't work,
fire Brad Stevens.
Surely, well, I was going to more say, like, Ainge has tools in his chest to change the team. Is he just going to sit on his hands?
Yes.
Again?
Yes.
Like, he's like one of those guys that just sort of, like, you know, reinvests and rolls it over into the next year. You know, never actually pushes all these chips into the middle of the table.
But I can't wait for all the stories on background that sort of say all the moves they were just about to make.
About to make.
Yes. About to trade for LeBron. And
there's plenty of players out there, like, you know, the Cavs and the Magic surely will trade you some pretty good players for picks and or cap relief. If the Pistons had some good players, they would probably trade them to you. Could you break up the Timberwolves? For parts, I don't know. I don't know what you would do with the Timberwolves.
Do you want any of those parts?
Oh, I think yeah, you'd probably want Cat, wouldn't you? Like isn't Cat the like
he's isn't Cat the next Boogie Cousins? Yes. Yes, he is. Cat is the next Boogie Cousins. I'm glad you said that. I wouldn't have put my name on it, but I'm glad you've put your name on the idea that Boogie Cousins, who's just been waived by the Houstons, and has ended a career which looked like a surefire superstar career with a whole lot of and Karl Anthony Towns will have the same career as Boogie Cousins. And that's sad, but that's what's going to happen.
For all the crap the Kings front office got, that was actually the right move, wasn't it? To trade him before having to give him the Supermax. Imagine if the Kings were still paying him the Supermax. Holy shit. Because they would be. He'd still have like 2 years left on that deal.
Yep.
I think you got to be like a really super duper duper star now. Otherwise, people are just going to jump off you before the end.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know what the option is for players who would be in that space for a Supermax who aren't really worthy of that Supermax. I don't know where they go because they're not going to get it from any club that is worth getting it from, if that makes sense. You're only ever going to end up getting it from a terrible club and you're going to end up earning a shitload of money playing terrible basketball for a terrible team.
And it seems like teams have worked out, like look at the Hornets. They seem to have worked out rather than overpaying for one washed or, you know, overpaying for a super duper star that's going to take all of your cap and then you're just reliant. Why not overpay for
mid
to good players?
So it doesn't offend half of your audience.
Well, even Rozier, like they overpaid for him, but that's actually looking like a pretty good deal now, and it looks like the Celtics sort of fucked that one up. I guess they, you know, you can't know that Kemba's going to get hurt, but yeah, I just think they've sort of got these mid-level guys, these solid guys that they're paying more for. A little bit what Detroit have done with the guy from the Nuggets. You know,
it seems like a big stretch to make for an eighth place 15-16 team. I know they're ahead of Boston and Miami, but they won't stay ahead of Boston and Miami.
Yeah, but I had them sort of, I thought they'd finish in the 12-13 range. I still think they're overachieving. And they do have young players that are going to get better. Like they're doing better than the Hawks. Oh, come on. LaMelo's going to get better. He's going to get better.
Yeah, LaMelo, but I was thinking one of the more less obvious ones.
Oh, I think they've got some role players that will get better. Like that, they're not going to turn into Klay Thompson. You're not going to get
There's not enough weed in the world for that.
You're not going to get a 1-2 punch. But then, like you said, they're probably going to drop down to like I'm just putting respect on the Hornets' names after they beat my team yesterday. So, Monk might get better. Bridges might get better, but they're not. Yeah, you're right. They're not going to turn into, you know, Jaylen Brown, I guess. Yeah. Is your point?
They're a flat 500 in their last 10, which is, you know, about what their overall record is. But they've been overtaken by Chicago, who have been an improbable 7-3 and have sent Zach LaVine to the All-Star game.
Yeah, so I do love now that the thing that Zach Lowe and Howard Beck have been saying about the All-Star teams for years is like, you know, if you're going to say X should be in the All-Star team, you have to then say, okay, he is demonstratively better than this player. You know, you can't just say he should.
Who are you taking out?
Yeah, who are you taking out? He shouldn't. You can't just say he should have made it. Who should he made it of head? And
yes, who are you deleting from the? Whose money are you taking off the table? Because this is what
the Celtics should have to give back one of their All Stars. Can you be in the play-in spot and still have two All Stars?
They are literally a game, you know, a game back of the fourth in the East. I mean, let's be real. Between 15-15 and 15-17 is everyone from fourth till 10th. So,
yeah,
you know, it's not being below 500 is bad for Boston and Miami, but they don't have to do much to suddenly pull the finger and appear back in the pointy end.
Probably Sabonis instead of Vooch is probably the only one where you could really make a case considering they're fourth and the Magic are 13th. Yeah. And I know the Magic have no one, but the Pacers haven't had they haven't had LeVert or what's the guy that they got from the Suns who's a sort of hyper scorer. Like, they've been a couple of really good players down as well. And he's just sort of kept them in that 3-4 spot. Yeah. So,
well, they're 4 spot. I think the first three in the East are pretty comfortably clear. Philadelphia, Brooklyn, yep, and Milwaukee.
When do Philly play the Nets? That's going to be an interesting game.
Good question.
Let's hope that's before the All-Star break. Just have a look at the 76ers.
They have one game left and it's in April.
Oh, really?
They've split their series so far. The Nets won the first one in January. The Sixers won the second one. Almost exactly the same score. 122-109 in January to the Nets. 124-108 to the Sixers in February. And then in the middle of April, they're playing, it looks like.
And I think that second one, none of the Nets stars played, and LeVert, that was the game that LeVert went crazy.
Yeah.
And he beat them. So, was it the first? Oh, I don't know. There was one game where I thought LeVert beat the 76ers, but maybe I'm
probably the early one, because that would have been the one where Durant was out on injury, yeah, on whatever, and Kyrie
on
was,
COVID and AWOL.
Yeah, and Harden might not have been there.
Well, Harden wouldn't have been there because if LeVert won the game.
Yes, indeed.
When do the Nets? Because the Nets are sort of, they've done the Jazz thing of, you know, they've actually played a couple of good sides lately and just handled their shit. They play the Mavs next.
Yep. They haven't done a bad job for a team that is down one of their best players.
Mm. And they're probably easily their best defender.
In that first game, their roster did involve Torian Prince, Jared Allen, and Caris LeVert. So that was a generation ago in terms of Nets basketballing.
That's nuts.
That still wasn't a bad team, though. I mean, they were a good basketball team at the time.
The Nets have played some good teams recently.
Yeah, they've played some good teams. I mean, they only played the Nets and Magic, so the Magic and Kings most recently. But over the weekend, they played the Lakers and the Clippers. So they did the LA thing. It's been hard to read from the Google versions, because I think they flipped they make the home team the first name team, which is the correct way to do it. But it's against the American formula. You'd list the home team second in America. The Americans always list the home team second, because it's always, you know, if the Nets were playing against the Lakers, they would say Nets at Lakers, whereas we would say Lakers versus Nets, because the Lakers are hosting, and that's how Google represents it to Australia and New Zealand audiences. But yeah, the Nets did the Staples two step over the weekend and got two wins. So
yeah, I guess post All-Star break, it's all going to be health COVID and scheduling, isn't it? Like the poor old Spurs play 40 games in 65 days or something after the All-Star break.
Is the Rodeo on this year or not?
No, they've already done.
Did I say Rodeo or Rodeo? I can't remember what I'm talking about. I think I pronounced it like an old Holden Ute that used to be on sale. For international listeners, Holden used to be a car brand.
That won't piss anyone off amongst our listening group.
It's self-harming. I was the biggest Holden fan imaginable growing up, and now they've destroyed my religion.
I think they've already been on it, which is everything you need to know about Texas, that they've always already had to go out.
You can't catch COVID from a steer, boy. At least that's out the way. Spurs are still hanging in. Spurs are a little bit like the Pacers in that you can rely on them to give you a solid, you know, what are they, 16 and 12. And they're a solid sixth. And it's just institutional, structural competence. And Indiana kind of.
Well, their interesting thing is that it looks like the LaMarcus as a starter thing is done. You know,
yeah, he cooked
that. Yeah, but that whether he's realised it and come to the organisation and said, you know, I need to be coming back off the bench, and unless I hit a German doctor streak of vitality,
spin them knee platelets down,
or
that got a lot of bad rap. So all that was a really simple process that was entirely. fair enough. I mean, all they were doing was spitting the blood down, taking the cells that do the most shit, concentrating them, and injecting them back into the same wound. So it was, it's basically just giving your own body a hand. It wasn't like they were adding a whole lot of fucking HDH or anything.
Yeah, compared to some of the shit that goes on in baseball, it was...
Or the entire gestures in the direction of the entire 1990s in road cycling.
Yes. Yeah. How clean do you reckon cycling is at the moment?
I reckon it's incredibly clean because they are, there's just so much. They've got fucking blood passports. You know, it would just be so fucking hard to cheat. You know, you'd have to do it institutionally again. And I know, so British Cycling tried. So the Sky team, who are now the Ineos team, so because Jim Ratcliffe, the Ineos guy, literally buys vanity project after vanity project. One of them was the Sky Cycling team. One of them, he's bought into Mercedes Formula One. He's financing the British America's Cup campaign. I think he owns one or two European football teams as well. And he's trying to build Land Rover Defender clone because he's a fucking bellend.
Would he like to invest in a sports podcast?
I don't think we burn enough fossil fuels pointlessly.
I'd love to hear you doing ads for America's Cup and you know, team road cycling.
They're all off the coast of fucking Auckland right now doing their preliminary racing. So they're fanging up and down the coast off there. And it's on national television in the afternoon. They're like, oh, look at the boat racing. And you're thinking, what kind of fucking boomer yuppie cockhead is actually watching this shit?
But it,
and the answer is exactly the kind of audience who still watches TV
One. I find it fascinating in that it doesn't really look like sailing. It looks more like
Formula One
engineering.
It's Formula One.
Yeah, it looks like Formula One on the water. Yeah.
Look, that's why they got, I mean, one of the most recent challenges got Adrian Newey, the Red Bull Formula One genius, to design, because what they're doing, when they're foiling, they're effectively just Formula One cars upside down. It's all aero and carbon fiber. It's got very little to do with traditional sailing. And that concludes America's Cup coverage.
They should have to build the boats by hand.
And a balsa.
They should need to go back to.
Yeah.
And a balsa.
They should send them out there in lasers.
Skiffs
they used to do in the cricket lunch in the 90s. Was it the 18-foot skiffs?
The 18-foot skiffs. Yeah, I love
that. Send
them
out on those things.
Fucking way better.
It'd be the equivalent of having a one-make race for all the Formula One drivers in like Datsun 1100s or something, but that would still be really cool.
Yeah, it would be very cool.
Yeah. In fact, I would pay a lot of money to watch a one-make race of Formula One drivers in Datsun 1100s. Because they used to do that. There was in the like the late 70s, early 80s, there was a one-make race. It was BMW M1s, which were these kind of sports prototype things, but it was the same kind of idea. They just went around, you know, crashing these incredibly expensive BMWs into each other as this kind of lunchtime before the Formula One race entertainment exercise. There's no way they'd allow them to do that now, unfortunately.
And you can imagine that they would have been a touch competitive, knowing that it's sort of a reflection of where they actually are as a driver rather than how good their engineering team is.
Yeah, back of the grid guys who are like, this is my big chance to shine, motherfuckers. Yeah. They're just giving it the full send.
Shall we do a review of the England India Test Series that is slightly longer than the actual game?
Yes.
And that was it.
Don't pick.
I woke up this morning.
Don't pick three quicks on a deck that disintegrates when you look at it.
Batsman talking about bowling. Shut the fuck up. You are the most biased fucking commentators I've ever heard in my life. Learn to play fucking
Batsman's
spin
game, Bezo.
And pick the right
people
side.
People don't tend to watch bowling.
Oh, I do. Well, I was planning on watching some this afternoon, but evidently not. Woke up this morning.
Dial up your KO and watch a replay of the Australia New Zealand game from here yesterday.
Yeah, that was a fun game.
That was a really good game. Not a lot of quality bowling going on.
No, and I watched a bit of it and then saw the result and went back and watched the rest, and was like, okay, but it was like the inverse of the test in that. Like, even the Indian batsman said, look, we played like shit. We all got out to balls that were going straight, not turning. Like, that's just poor technique. Coley came out and said it flat. He's like, I shouldn't have got out to that ball. It just landed and came on, like the pink ball skids on a little bit more. We should have adjusted for that and dug in. It's not like it was, you know, turning sideways on every ball. I don't know. Just like England picked I don't know what field they thought they were rocking up to, but that wasn't the side that they should have picked for that game.
It was a weird selection for the second test, though, because they dropped Archer and I don't know if Archer was in the side, but they dropped Anderson for the second test after he took a bunch of wickets. Yeah. I was like, what is this, some kind of I'm cleverer than you rotational policy? They got pace in the
that's
what,
exactly what it was.
And then they overcompensated and brought those guys back in for the third, and they're too smart for themselves, and they fucked it again.
Well, it was like this, the pink ball's going to swing, and it's like, it's got to have grass. Like, the reason it moves all over
it'll
the place
swing,
in Adelaide
but it'll
is
also they spin and spin like a motherfucker because it's covered in really sticky lacquer.
Yeah. And those guys are really good spinners, and not in I can turn the ball a long way, in that those two spinners can pick the weaknesses in your technique and work you over. Like, if you watch both of them bowl and over, they clearly had plans for all the England batsmen. Yeah. And they, you know, push back, and then they would bowl that sort of underspinner one that would, and they were even talking about the way that they were spinning it so that the seam of the ball wasn't hitting the pitch. It was the tacky pinkness of it, because that was what was skidding on. And it's like, okay, so they actually thought about what they were going to do, and they executed it, and the other team didn't think about what was going to happen and got smacked.
No, it's going to be wonderful to live in a world where India are not only the team with the biggest access to talent, but are also the smartest team in Test cricket.
Yeah.
Might as well pull the shutters down on it already, because it's done. It's not going to be physically possible to actually defeat them. Good luck, New Zealand. Maybe they need to make that a pink ball test. Whatever. I think they're going to play it. It's supposed to be in the UK, and the argument was it's going to be at Lord's, but I suspect if it's the word I heard is that it's like more likely to be somewhere like Southampton if England aren't playing in it, which is likely.
Ah, okay.
I don't think England are now in a position to get enough wins. I think they're officially out.
No, England are out, but if England win the fourth test, it's Australia.
Yeah, but England won't win, because if they win, Australia wins.
No.
And also, we've seen what England are capable of, which is not very fucking much. It's weird how this test series has gone very much like the Australian test series, in that one team got an accidental win in the first one, and then India went, oh, no, we're not having that, and just engaged the smackdown.
Well, I was going to say, England might, you know, prepare a raging seamer for that world championship final, but that's not going to matter either, because India have got two really, really good seamers.
Oh, they don't want to be facing Cole Jamieson, though. Although Cole Jamieson in the two T20 games has been bowling like shit ever since he went for lots of millions. He's been bowling like he's got a very, very, very tense bottom. He's been bowling like he's on pucker factor zero. Like, he's like, I cannot get injured in the next few games. I really need to go and get that bag. Bowled like absolute shit in the first two T20 games. But I mean, he does. I feel like Cole Jamieson earned $2.7 million just from that one viral video from the provincial game where he took that ridiculous hat trick with the ball hooping like a banana on what appeared to be a putting green of a deck. That probably earned him the money straight up. Not his ridiculous test bowling. I think he has the lowest average of anybody who's played as much of him in recorded history of humanity, which must be nice.
It was funny, though. Curtis was it Conway that got the runs in the first game?
No, you've got to, as an Australian, you have to report this like an Australian. South African-born Devin Conway. Because the Australian media can't stop themselves pointing out that some of these people might be from somewhere else. Like, Devin Conway moved, like most of the north side of Auckland is from South Africa.
Anyway, so Guptill's popping around all over, and Curtis is not real sure. Guptill, he's very risky. I don't know how he's going to go. I'm like, he's going all right, dude. Just don't worry about him.
Guptill had batted like shit for like Guptill's been in an appalling form for a very long time. So that was actually good and a positive surprise. And then him holding out at 97 was just like, oh, well, back to where you were before. But Guptill had a kid that week, I think.
Yeah, the Fred Van Vliet theory.
The Van Vliet effect,
have a kid and away you go. Anyway, so Curtis is like, I'll wait till Conway gets in. They've started well. They've still got Conway to come. And I'm like, dude, it doesn't work like that. And always just the same guys get all the runs.
But also, they were dropping Conway down the order because Conway is more of a nudger and niggler. And that was more appropriate on the deck they played the first T20 on. But in Dunedin, it was bouncing really true. So it was like, just get out there and fucking swing through the line. I mean, at one point, Guptill got consecutive boundaries off the sight screen in front of him and the sight screen behind him, which tells you how the Dunedin deck was behaving. Reasonably true.
Yep. Yeah, no.
I didn't go to the game because game started at 2 and some of us have to do work. But I sort of ended up watching it on replay on delay later in the day. But God, the place looked good. It really looked good. And,
yes.
And one of the secrets is that it's 2 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon, but it's O week. So the entire crowd was full of pissed students just fucking off their chops. And it looked like a fun place to be. So it was a good advertisement for the L joint.
Yep. All right, Doc, you got any other sporting takes before we go?
Tiger stacked his truck.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to mention that at some stage because basically all of American sport has been 24-hour rolling coverage of that for the last 3 days.
Okay, I don't understand that. But
I don't care.
Yes, it's golf.
We posted a series of completely insensitive jokes about it on our Twitter feed. That will probably get us cancelled, but we'll see how we go. Apparently he's changed hospitals in his recovery and made the point that, oh, he's cheating on his hospitals too now. I can't wait for his former hospital to, you know, start attacking his truck with a fucking 9-iron. What?
Oh, dear. Nothing. I got nothing. Exactly.
Look, we didn't talk about what's in the label of the title of the show notes, which is Kyrie wants Kobe on the fucking NBA logo. And look, for the wokest league in the fucking in all the sports, why not put a probable rapist on there? I mean, what could possibly go wrong? Fucking bullshit. Good night.
Yeah.